cautioning us to be careful of our way, but he's not identifying us as these things. Look with me. This is incredibly important. Look with me at verse 7. Therefore, do not associate with them. And then verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. He's saying you are God's people. You're not to be identified by these things. That God will judge the world, but he's calling his people to live differently than the world around us. And the reason why is because he has made us new. Look again at verse 8. You were darkness. This parallels precisely what Paul has already taught in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. There's our key word again. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But listen to Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This is the very thing he is reminding them of in Ephesians 5, verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So for every person who names the name of Christ, every person who trusts in Christ as their Lord and Savior, Paul is telling you, you have a new identity. Although God's wrath is coming, you're not defined by these things, although you may struggle with them, so that God, through Paul, is commanding you to fight against those sins and to not give in to them. You're not defined by those things. And we see this even as Paul gives the instructions. Look again at verse 3. When he's talking about sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness, not even being named, he says, as is proper among saints. And again, we saw this early in the series. We tend to think of saints as Roman Catholic people who are super spiritual. The book of Ephesians is written to the saints who are in Ephesus. Every place that people name the name of Christ, every time someone believes in the name of Christ for salvation, that person immediately becomes a saint, becomes set apart, becomes dedicated to God, becomes one of God's children, becomes a child of light rather than a son of disobedience. What Paul is reminding them of their identity in Christ, what you are in him. That's why even if some of these things are places where God's people struggle, we're called to fight against them, to not associate with them, to not walk down those paths, because God has made us new. You know, the following illustration I think I've used before, but it's such a good one, I'm going to use it again. In the movie Blood Diamond, which just like Ricky Gervais' speech, I can't recommend Blood Diamond. It's about the brutal blood diamond trade in Africa and how the path of diamonds getting to market is just full of bloodshed and war. And as it tracks the main characters, one of the main African men in the story, one of his sons is captured by one of the armies that's warring to control these diamond mines. And that army uses child soldiers. The movie shows the evil of child soldiers, and one of the key points near the end of the movie, the two main characters run into a child soldier, and it's the son of the African man. And the soldier is pointing a gun at them. And this father looks at his son, he names his son, and he says, "You're a good boy." And he tells his son of the times when they used to do things together before he was enslaved, before he was brainwashed, before he was drugged, before he was fed alcohol. And he tells him who he is. And it changes the son's life. God calls us not to walk as we once did, but he doesn't call us to do this so that he will love us. Paul tells us so clearly here, we are loved. That everyone who calls in the name of Christ is loved, is part of God's family. And then he says, as part of God's family, don't live the way you once did. God's got something more beautiful for you. God wants you to reflect him, to be a child of the light, to walk in his ways. And so we've seen what not to do. What should we be doing instead? How should we be living? We're called to walk as children of light. And how do we do this? Look in verse 10 with me. Verse 10 shows us the key to walking as children of light. It says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, when this says try, the translation here, this isn't saying try in the sense of try something impossible. This isn't try to discern what God wants you to do, like if someone turned to you and said, hey, get down right now and try and do 200 push-ups. It's not that sense. It's more this sense of putting all of your effort in one direction. So what verse 10 is telling us is the primary thing that we should be seeking to do every day is to say, how can I please Jesus? How can I live in such a way that I'm pleasing to him? That's what I want to do. My in-laws, their neighbors, when they lived in Mississippi, had an incredibly intelligent dog. This dog was an Australian shepherd, Australian sheepdog, incredibly intelligent, could tell the difference between many of its toys. This dog, though, was obsessive about running garden hoses. If you had a stream of water on, this dog would try all day to bite and eat up that water. And it didn't matter what the dog was doing. This dog lost focus on everything else and only had eyes for that water. And it was just so funny. The neighbor would turn the hose on and this dog would go nuts trying to get at the source of where's all that water coming from. That's how we should be with seeking after Jesus. I just want to know Jesus. I just want to know Jesus. I just want to follow him. I want to be like him. How does he want me to live? We should have that single-hearted intensity for that one thing. This last week, my wife and I went and saw the movie, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the story about Mr. Rogers and the journalist who writes about him. It's a beautiful story. Again, I'm not God. I don't know Mr. Rogers' heart. But I thought one of the most beautiful points in that movie, the journalist meets Mr. Rogers' wife, Joanne, and she says, yeah, he's had a temper. He sometimes loses it. And then she says, but he tries so hard and he works so hard to not give in to those things. And then she says, she lists some of the more human sides of things, working hard at sleep, diet, exercise. And she talks about how every day he starts the day and ends the day with prayer and reads the Bible. And what struck me in the movie is how Mr. Rogers throughout the movie really demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, compassion, gentleness, love, patience. And yet what the wife was saying is she was saying he's wholeheartedly pursuing those things. They don't come naturally to him. And in our humanness, they don't come naturally to any of us. But when we come to know Christ, we are given the Spirit of God. And so every person who trusts in the name of Christ has the Spirit of God and can seek to live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, one other thing I want to mention about this verse that talks about trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord is not just how we do this by focusing on God, but what are we called to do? You know, there are many decisions that God gives us that he hasn't told us what's right and wrong. What job do we take? If you're considering marriage, whom do you marry? There are many principles in God's word, but there are a lot of things where we're given freedom. What do we do with our time during the day? What kinds of service activities or other things should or shouldn't we get involved in? But God's word also gives us the moral law, which shows us what righteousness looks like. It's interesting because what Paul says in verse 9, he says, walk as children of light, verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. In Romans 7, when Paul's talking about God's law, Paul writes something very parallel. He says, the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. We're not under law, we're under grace, we belong to Jesus. And yet the whole law of God still shows us what a good life looks like. What it looks like to live in a way that's pleasing to God. We're called to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So every day, When we get up in the morning, what's the desire of your heart? What are the things you begin to think about? What things control your thoughts? Do you think, Lord, this is your day, I want to serve you, help me to know what that looks like with the time you've given me, with the energy you've given me, with the resources I have, with the abilities I have? Do we seek in our jobs, in our families, in our communities to serve the Lord, to live in a way that's pleasing to him? With our use of money, with our use of time, with the use of our talents, do we say, Lord, these are yours. You gave them to me. I want to please you with how I live. We're called to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And this is not an impossible task. This is a task that all who are depending upon the grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and are seeking Christ daily can learn to walk in his ways. And then the third thing that we see as we look at what we're called to do is how God can use this. Look with me in verses 11 through 14. As we do this, God calls us to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. In other words, by both our words and our lives, and if we're exposing with our words, we need to be gracious and kind, as our Lord is, and not harsh. But we are called to live in such a way where our lives show something different, where our lives show the light of Christ. In the Beatitudes, Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the light of the world." One commentator writes that light has a twofold effect on the prevailing darkness. It makes visible and transforms. Now, this passage here, verses 11 through 14, commentators debate over whether this is referring to Christians that were once walking in darkness that are now obeying Christ, or whether it refers to the fact that when Christians are following God, God uses that to transform the lives of others. I think it's that second one. Paul has already told Christians to not live the way they used to. I think rather here he's reminding us that when we're seeking to please God, that God uses that to extend his kingdom. God uses that to bring other people to the light of Christ. I think we see this even in verse 14 about this language of arising from the dead and Christ shining on you. If someone comes to Christ, they are no longer dead. This is referring to someone coming to Christ for the first time. And Paul is reminding us here that as we seek to live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, that God uses that to open other people's eyes, to bring other people into the light, to bring other people to become children of light. So what have we seen as we looked at this passage this morning? We've seen that God calls us to walk as children of light, that we're not in the dark morally, that we're not lost, we're not adrift in a culture that doesn't know what to do and where culture can sometimes feel like there are all sorts of competing subgroups with their own agendas, just pushing for their own thing. No, God has made himself known. Jesus is the light of the world. He came and has made new every person who trusts in him. And every person that trusts in him is given a new identity, given the identity of saint, given the identity of child of God. And so God tells us, walk as children of the light. And here he reminds us what not to do. Don't live as you once did before you came to Jesus, and don't live as those around you do. In how we view our bodies and what we do with our bodies, how we use our tongues, whether our hearts are content with where God has put us. We're called to not walk as people once did, but instead what we're called to do is live as children of light, to have a single-hearted focus on seeking to live in a way that's pleasing Jesus. And Jesus calls his people into many different things. All the gifts and talents he's given us, he wants us to use them in the world. This pleasing Jesus doesn't mean that everyone goes into full-time Christian ministry. We're all called to minister in every place he has put us. And yet what we're called to is that single-hearted focus on seeking to please him. Let us look to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our God, we do thank you for the new identity we have in Jesus. And we pray that you would help us even now to not live in the patterns of the world around us, to not live in the patterns that once defined us, but to live as your children, for this is what we are. Help us, we pray. Help us to look to Jesus daily, and we pray that you would guide our paths. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.